about some good things first.
And we could take the whole time on that. You know, there's a ton that's good that's going on right now. You know, that's the irony of this whole situation, is that even as we're battling this fiscal crisis, you're seeing a real revitalization for the first time in a long, long time. And, you know, you can see it with the UConn campus coming in, bringing thousands of students downtown on a daily basis. You can see it with the Yard Goats selling out weekend after weekend, game after game. You were there, Dan, every time. You saw it yourself. You know, 41 sellouts, 21 straight sellouts at the end of the season, including Monday and Tuesday
And
nights.
young couples moving into Hartford.
Young people, mid-career folks, empty nesters all moving into Hartford. Yeah. You know, those apartment units filling up faster than anyone would have thought. The Goodwin Hotel, you know, back alive. This time next year, you got train service that's going to be connecting us to New Haven and to Springfield and on to New York, synced up with the New York schedule so you don't have to sit in New Haven and wait for half an hour. And then if you look outside of the downtown, there's a lot going on in the neighborhoods too. You know, in Coltsville, you're seeing a real growth of both residential and commercial presence in that old factory and around it. You know, you now have a Hooker Brewery tasting room that just opened down there and is doing great. In Parkville, you've got a lot of growth of entrepreneurial businesses, creative businesses. You have the brewery that just opened up down there. You got a lot of pop-up, you know, restaurants that come, just a real energy there. We're finally moving forward with this long-stalled, it's been for 20 years stalled project to revitalize Albany Avenue with a streetscape project. Moving forward with that, and you know, all of those things together take time to really blossom, but all those things together are exactly what you want to see to get a city lifted up.
Now, the next question is, are you going to have to file for bankruptcy?
Look, you know, as we've talked about before, I can't tell you the answer to that question because a lot of that depends on what the General Assembly does. Maybe it depends on what they do tomorrow. You know, it looks like they may be taking a vote on a budget tomorrow. What I've been saying for a long time, and I believe it deeply, is that if we as a state want to be competitive and we want to compete with the Bostons or the Austins or the Louisvilles or the Pittsburghs or on and on, we have to have strong urban centers. You know, I've been talking a lot about this Amazon thing. You know, Amazon said that they're looking for a second headquarters.
Right.
And obviously, we should go after that. And we should get behind whatever Connecticut proposal is strongest. This isn't about Hartford. It's not about suburbs. It's not about New Haven, Bridgeport. Wherever it's strongest in Connecticut, we should be fighting for it because that's going to lift up our entire state. But here's the point. What they said they're looking for is the same thing that every company is looking for, including the ones that are already here. They're looking for a metro region of about 1 million people, or more than 1 million people, and they're looking for a location that's close to public transportation, it's close to population centers, and walkable. What they're looking for is a strong metro area with a vibrant urban center. That's what that's the game today. That's the economic competition that we're in. We actually can offer that because if you look at the greater New Haven area or the greater, you know, or lower Fairfield County or greater Hartford, you actually could have that. You got a region of about 1 million people. You've got an incredible concentration of human capital and talent. You've got a great concentration of educational institutions, of companies. You've got beautiful communities. You've got a great quality of life where you can be in Boston or New York in a pretty short time. You've got a great accessible airport, all those things. If we can pull together and work together and market ourselves as a unified region, we can compete for opportunities in a way that we're not right now.
Well,
I think we should take a shot at Amazon, but it's not all about Amazon. We're in a competition every single day, and we got to get in the game.
Well, they should have you out there, and we mentioned that, Dan. We mentioned
that. No, the day the story broke, we said, why not Hartford?
The day the story broke, we mentioned you about that.
But the question becomes, what's being done about it? Are there meetings? What's happening?
There are. You know, we're working together with a number of towns in the region and around the state. We actually had a meeting with municipalities and economic development officials, both public and private, earlier this week. You know, the state is taking an active role, and that's great. They should be taking an active role and working together. You know, I think at the end of the day, as I said, Connecticut's going to have to pick, you know, one or two proposals to put forward and really that we should all get behind. And again, if we're jockeying, you know, one town against another, one city against another in Connecticut, we're missing the point. You know, the whole state of Connecticut is the size of some of the cities that are going to be competing for this. So we need to be all in this together. But we also need to be thinking about what is it that a company like this is looking for. Because again, it's not just Amazon. We can compete for economic development opportunities, but we've got to recognize that everybody's looking for larger metro areas where everybody's pulling together and there's a strong, vibrant, culturally rich, active, urban heart.
Okay, a lot more to talk about with the
17
mayor,
minutes
Brad,
after 8. We're going to take a quick break, see what the traffic is doing, what the bumper-to-bumper crowd's doing out there. And here she is, Janelle. Good morning again.
And good morning, Brad. We have some heavy-duty delays on 84 with a crash reported at 41. Then it remains very heavy into 48. Lots of extra company there. Now, 9 northbound, very slow. Exit 28 up to 29. And a check of Route 2 westbound, solid line of traffic from exit 8 down to 5. Lots of slow-moving traffic there. And 91 southbound, exit 38 down to 32. That's very slow in the northbound side. You're going to hit some extra company. Exit 24 up to 27. I'm Janelle Prisman back at 8:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Do you own property that you need to move like yesterday? Listen to this. Contact myhousebuyer.com now. Do that and you'll have an offer in your hands within 24 hours. Sell your property now. No commission, no inspections, any condition, any price range. Closing and cash in hand within 2 weeks of your call. Honest and trustworthy. Call myhousebuyer.com at 860-325-SOLD. 860-325-SOLD. The first 10 callers receive $1,000 towards closing. When it's time to sell your property, think of MyHouseBuyer.com.
And 19 minutes, 19 after 8, and the mayor of Hartford, Mr. Bronin, is with us this morning. And Daniel, it's a tough go right now,
well,
I'll tell you.
It is, in a way. The mayor touched upon some of the positive things happening to Hartford. Mayor, to your knowledge, in the current budget negotiations, are they working on more assistance for Hartford, which you say is necessary in order to avoid bankruptcy?
I think they are. But I also want to say, you know, what we've been asking for and looking for is not just a bailout or a check. You know, we're looking to deal with the underlying structural problems here. A part of that problem, as we've talked about many times, is that you've got a city that's built on the tax base of a suburb. You know, you have a city where half the property is non-taxable, and the city is too small to begin with. So that means you end up with a city that has less taxable property than suburbs nearby. It just doesn't work. And if you look around at cities that are successful, nobody's built on a model like that. It just can't work. At the same time, there are other issues that we've got to keep solving. So we're fighting hard to get the state to appropriately reimburse the city for the non-taxable property. But we also are looking for the state to be a partner in helping us get the reforms that we want to get in our labor contracts, as well as negotiations with bondholders, because the city has accumulated debt and then restructured that debt in a way that creates a mountain. And it's not because of any new borrowing that we're doing. It's just the existing debt burden grows and grows over the next couple of years, and we've got to solve that problem too. So it's all three pieces of that. We're looking for a real partnership and a real commitment to dealing with that underlying structural problem, because, look, at the end of the day, our goal cannot be to just buy ourselves another year or another 2 years. You know, our goal has to be to actually fix the problem, at least for the foreseeable future. Give us, you know, let's put together 10 years of runway so that we can use that time to make the city take off. But you got to have enough of a runway that you can actually get some stability, that you can actually build some momentum. That's what we've got to aim for. And that's what we're fighting for every day.
Now, the governor and even some of the members of the legislature are out there saying if Hartford gets this additional money, they're going to have to expect some oversight from the state. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I think you remember, you know, I made a proposal for a sustainability commission, you know, within the first couple of months of coming in. You know, here's my view. Unlike other situations in Connecticut where there were oversight boards, there's no lack of political will to do tough things. We've done really difficult things. We have made deep cuts. Let me put it this way. All those things that towns around the state right now are, you know, they've got their hair on fire and they're saying, we may have to do these awful things if there's no state budget. We already did those things. We laid off a lot of people, and I wish we didn't have to do it. We've used our fund balance, our reserves. We have made dramatic reductions in services and spending and spending on services. You know, those are tough choices that I wish no town had to contemplate, but we did those over the last 18 months. And at the end of the day, there's a limit. you know, beyond which it's just not responsible to cut. So we're going to continue to be disciplined, and that's why I'm not afraid of someone trying to impose discipline on us, because we've already imposed discipline on ourselves.
Where do you stand on some of these union contracts you're trying to renegotiate?
Well, as you know, we've got a very significant deal with our firefighters union. We've had some very productive negotiations with some of our other unions. Some of them were close, although I think some of them are probably waiting to see what happens here in the budget process. And then there are some others that I think just aren't as interested in making such significant contributions to the solution here. So we're going to keep on pushing hard. You know, what I am not willing to do, and it doesn't always make me the most popular guy in the room, but that's okay. What I'm not willing to do is trade off the present against the future. I'm not willing to say, you know, we'll get a few savings for a couple of years, but, you know, down the road the city's going to get going to get whacked again because of these commitments that we made that we can't afford. I'm not willing to do that. And that makes it hard to get some of these deals because I'm asking for a lot and I'm not willing to give a lot, not because I don't want to, because we don't have it to give.
Well, is there the sense among some of the unions you're negotiating with that if you get more money from the state, then they don't have to give in these negotiations?
I hope that's not the case because, again, our goal shouldn't just be to kind of bump along at the current levels, the current tax levels, the current service levels. Our goal should be to build a strong and vibrant city. And ultimately, that means we got to get the property taxes down. So we've got a huge gap between where we are and where we want to be, and we should be fighting every day to get to where we want to be. And I think everybody's got to be a part of that solution.
Now, again, I go back to filing bankruptcy. And I remember from the very beginning, and I said, gosh, this is going to really do a number because other cities, other towns, Connecticut, the capital, Hartford, filing bankruptcy. Do you feel if you have to do it, if it comes to that, that will set us back a good many years or not?
Look, what I said, we sent a letter to the state last week, talking about what would happen if the state fails to adopt a budget, for another 2 months. And by the way, lots of communities are going to be in big trouble if the state doesn't adopt a budget. It's not just Hartford, but, I guess we're more willing to, send up the flares and say, hey, guys, this is really a problem. This, this cannot continue. So we sent out that letter and talked about what would have to happen if there was no state budget in place a couple months down the road. But what we also said, and I think this is important, is, look, there are those who say that bankruptcy is inevitable. Profoundly disagree with that. There is a solution here that we can put together as a state, and we can be successful if it's a comprehensive solution and we get all stakeholders to be a part of it and we're bold about having real aspirations for our city. There are also those people who say that bankruptcy should be avoided at all costs. I think they're also wrong, because one of the mistakes that you've seen some cities around the country make is that when they get to a fiscally distressed place, they stop looking to the future and they just keep cutting and cutting and cutting to the point that, like Detroit, before it filed bankruptcy, there were huge parts of the city that weren't getting police service or didn't have traffic lights that worked, or weren't having trash picked up. That's the real way you kill a city, is if you accept a level of service that's too low to make it an attractive place to be. So to me, the worst thing we could do, both to our city and to our state, is lower our expectations so much, lower our aspirations so much, that we accept a status quo that doesn't let us compete, doesn't let us compete to retain the what we've got, and doesn't let us compete for growth in the future. That, to me, is far, far worse. But let me repeat again, I don't see bankruptcy as the goal. I don't see it as something we should want. But I do think that we should be defining success in only one way, and that is whether or not we've gotten our capital city on a path to real sustainability, real strength, and real growth in the future. Because, again, the entire state of Connecticut desperately needs strong urban centers if we're going to be economically competitive.
Have you received yet any of the pledged money from the insurance companies?
No, and I wouldn't expect them to write any checks. They made very clear, and I support what they did, that their commitment was conditional on having that sustainable, comprehensive plan in place. Again, what they're aiming for is the same thing we're aiming for, same thing I'm aiming for. It's a comprehensive, sustainable solution. It's not a, you know, buy some time, put a Band-Aid on it approach. And I think they're absolutely right. And I think that's, in some ways, that's what's so powerful about what they did.
Again, you are ready. I mean, you know what you might have to do, but you don't want to do it.
That's right. Let me also say this. Look, I don't think there's any mayor in the country who wants to be, who wants to file for bankruptcy. But if the state continues to go without a budget for months and months, again, it's going to be devastating to communities all around the state. But it will be unworkable. You know, they, without a state budget, they haven't. Not only have they not worked with us to, you know, build a solution, it's taken away tens of millions of dollars of additional money. So that gap becomes $100 million this year. That's just unmanageable. And what I will not do, and what we will not do, is just stumble over a cliff. If the state is in gridlock, we're going to be prepared for what comes. I think we have a basic obligation to be prepared for what comes. And if that means we have to talk about things that make people uncomfortable, I think we had a responsibility to do that.
You mean more cuts?
No. I'm talking about, I mean, look, Brad is talking about bankruptcy preparation.
Right.
And the fact that we brought an attorney on and financial advisors on. Again, that doesn't mean that's where we want to go. Mm-hmm. But the worst thing we could do is, you know, get to the point where cash flow runs out,
right,
and we say, uh-oh, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. We have to be prepared.
In other words, you're prepared for that.
We have been preparing. We continue to prepare. But we also continue to argue that there is a solution here that involves partnership with the state and partnership with all of our stakeholders, and that's a better path.
Put a dollar figure on what you need from the state this year.
Look, I'm going to answer that question in a slightly different way. I'm going to talk about what the real size of our problem is. If the city of Hartford had competitive property taxes at the same level as, say, you know, East Hartford, which, by the way, still has one of the highest tax rates around, our gap would be $150 million. That's the real gap we've got to close. But I'm under no illusion that we're going to close that this year. We have to be working in the years ahead to fix this problem enough that we can actually get to a competitive tax rate.
It's this year from the state, but beyond this year, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Out of time.
Gotta be beyond this year.
Always good to talk with you
Mr.
guys.
Mr. Mayor, pleasure.
Be well.
See you next
month.
Take care.
8:30, we'll be back.
Yeah.